winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 434-1790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought to you in association with our good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture. Well, the West Indies are in winner's row. Yes, the T20 matches played in Antigua. They won the first, they lost the second, and in a tight battle in the third, thanks to Fabian Allen, who I suppose brought him in the ackee and saltfish of Jamaica. He was able to see the West Indies home, but it was a nervy situation for them. And they're saying that the West Indies boys, they need to improve in relation to the way they play spin bowling. So on this evening, we want to look back at that T20 series. We also want to look forward. The action continues tomorrow, fast and furious. Of course, we're going to be having the ODI starting. And no doubt we want to look at that as well. And already on Zoom, we've got Mally Richards, the son of the great man, the iconic Saviv Richards, who actually had a birthday on this the 7th, 69, looking as if he's 26. His son is already there. Of course, Dr. Andrew Ford is there, and we've got Ian Bradshaw. And on the line, we're going to go to Jamaica and talk to a man who's not 69. He's slightly younger than that, of course. We're talking about Jackie Hendricks a little bit later on. We hope to go around the Caribbean. We hope to speak to Richard Prof Edwards here in Barbados. And we also hope to join the Tiger Shivan Ryan Chanderpaul, who is in Antigua. But without any further ado, let's go to Antigua and talk to Vernon Springer, who's with us. Vernon, who is covering a warm-up match. We note with interest, Vernon, as you join me there from Antigua, that Campbell got among the runs. It's been very hot and cold. And, of course, Craig Brathwaite got among the runs as well. Give us a report. Hello to you, Vernon Springer.
Good evening to you, Andrew, and good evening to the listeners in Barbados, and especially the entire universe and the folks who listen to your program around the world.
Mm-hmm. All right, give us a report. What's happening there in Antigua? Are you happy?
Well, first of all, one would have to give credit to Cricket West Indies for the initiative, what is called the best of the best, you know, which is taking place between, we would say, Craig Brathwaite and Washington Chase. And it has so far turned and built out to be an exciting 2 days so far. The Chase 11 would have batted first and scored 326 all out of 97.2 overs. They would at least batted for 6 hours and 47 minutes, 34 bounces and 5 sixes. John Campbell, as you said, would have cracking 129, 253 balls, 325 minutes, 15 fours, 3 sixes, 189 dot balls. Would have really loved to see him come back this morning and bat again, because I think he needs some time in the middle. Ruston Chase, within his own limitations so far, 75, 159 balls, 208 minutes, 10 fours and 119 dot balls. Jermaine Blackwood got 34 on the back end of the innings, and Imran Khan got 24. But where I was really most impressed with is the bowling unit of the Craig Brathwaite 11. Preston McQueen, he's one, I think, for the future, and he journeyed with the reserves to England. And you could see his work ethic in the red ball. He really didn't have an outstanding CG Super 50 competition, but today, yesterday and today, he really stepped up. 24 overs, 8 maidens, 64 runs, 4 wickets, 115 dot balls, a left-arm seamer, one for the future. I'm not saying that he's going to play right now, but he's brings an added variety to Edwin McCoy and, you know, and Raymond Reefer. So that was good for him. And then you had the youngster from Trinidad and Tobago, Jaden Seals, who bowled with great pace. 15 overs, 3 maidens, 42 runs, 3 wickets, 72 dot balls. And I like the approach. I like his physique. And I like his work ethic in terms of what I've seen so far. The other wicket takers would have been Rakim Cornwall, 24 overs, 4 maidens, 73 runs, 1 wicket, 99 dot balls. Markina Minley, 13.2 overs, no maidens, 47 runs, 1 wicket, 60 dot balls. He bowled a number of dot balls. His rhythm was certainly off. Versami Pomal, he really didn't pick up any wickets. 15 overs, 54 runs, no wickets, 65 dot balls. Kevin Hart only bowled 5 overs, no maidens, 8 runs, 1 wicket. And the captain, Craig Brackett, 1 over, no maiden, 2 runs, no wickets. The other scores would have seen Mosley 3, Ambrose North, Bonner 16, Reefer 2, Hamilton 5, Holder 1, and in the end, Warrington was left not out on 2. So in terms of the batting performance, you would really say that outside of Campbell and Ruston Chase, there wasn't really anything else much to shout about.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the transition from the white ball to red ball, it was just a sight to see guys back out in their white and to see the red ball taking place.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Now, when the... Yep. Sorry, Andrew.
No, continue. You continue, Vernon. Mm.
Now, when the West Indies Blackwood 11 started their innings, Kyron Powell followed a white ball from Shemar Holder and was easily caught at first slip by Sonny Lambert. So he really didn't bother the scorers today. But then you had a really important partnership, which really built up between Craig Brathwaite and Kevin Hodge. Brathwaite batted beautifully. It was a different Craig Brathwaite in his batting. Dodged as usual, but was very positive. And you could sense that he really wanted to get among the runs there. And there was a lot of chatter. What I like about this game is that there's been a lot of chatter among the two teams. And so you have some experienced coaches who've been around, Floyd Reefer, Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul, Andrew Coley. You've got a number of coaches who are assigned to both teams. And so you could see the strategy working out in terms of the field placing. Craig Brackett's field placing in the first game was matched by Ruston Chase in the game. So the game is almost, even though it's the best of the best, mm-hmm. it's been a very competitive game. So Brackett scored 95 until I think he lost his concentration. And I think because of the chatter between the fielders and him wanting to go after Jamal Warrington. He scored 95, 156 balls, 223 minutes, 12 fours, and 1-6, 112 dot balls. Kevin Hodge in the end got a stylish 59 not outs, 160 balls, 189 minutes, 6 fours, 128 dot balls. And Paul Palmer has come in and looked very businesslike. He's a left-hander,
mm-hmm.
and you could see a sort of approach from him. He's come in and he's raced to 31 not outs, 48 balls, 61 minutes, 4 fours, and 31 dot balls. But the man of the day has to be Jamal Warrington, who bowled from the CIU end, and he bowled unchanged. 23 overs, 8 maidens, 52 runs, 3 wickets, 115 dot balls.
Ooh.
You've got to understand the kind of pressure that was
yes.
built by Jamal Warrington. What was smart about Ruston Chase's captaincy today is that they came back after tea and they decided that they were going to come up with a different strategy and a plan. And so they started with Niles Smith, who you keep hearing me speaking about,
yes.
Andrew. 15 overs, 1 maiden, 61 runs, 1 wicket. The figures won't deliberate how well he bowled. 65 dot balls. Shemar Holder, 15 overs. He's really certainly looked a peak above his performance in the CG Super, in the white ball version.
Mm-hmm.
This looked like his version.
Right.
Today, he ran in, and you could see the rhythm, everything. There was a competition between him and Niles Smith in terms of how fast they were bowling.
Oh.
Shemar Holder, 15, 3, 51, 1, 67 dot balls. Raymond Reefer, you know, he's just there, thereabout. He also had to put in some work today. 15 overs, 4 maidens, 33 runs, no wickets, 73 dot balls. And Imran Khan came on later, 9 not, 28 not, 34 dot balls. And Ruston Chase, just for a changeover, he just bowled 2 overs, no maidens, 7 runs, no wickets. So the bowling units so far by both teams in terms of how the captaincies have handled the bowlers have been good. Now, when you look at the track, there's a little grass, Andrew.
Okay.
Not live grass.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of rolled in. And you have to be circumspect. You have to really prepare yourself and you have to have some patience. So it's not a wicket where you could be able to think that you could be able to play a lot of shots. Shimon Hetmeyer got caught today because by the time Warrington bowled him a delivery, which looked like he was there to pull, he sort of shot, kept low on him. And, you know, he was curtains for him. But outside of that,
mm-hmm.
I think you could see signs that the bowling unit, especially the seamers, the young seamers, are beginning to learn and beginning to understand in terms of what's happening. And you had the senior players who kept talking to them, especially on the Ruston Chase team. You had Bonner and you had those German Blackwood. So there's a competitive spirit off the field. I spent some time looking at them practice yesterday after the game, and you could hear the little banter.
Right.
So the
mm-hmm.
game right now is opened up. And I think, all in all, I think this is really a good preparation period because the track at Coolidge is the same track that I think that they will get for the first test at the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium. So I think it was maybe deliberately prepared by Ken Crafton in that way. And they would maybe just have to start with themselves and get themselves going.
Mm-hmm. All right, Verdon, thanks very much for coming through and talking to us. A comprehensive report there. And we hope to speak to you again next week. Enjoy the rest of your evening, Verdon.
God bless you, sir. Thank you.
All right. So there you have it. We thought it was important to go and get someone who watched the game, in fact, doing some television and also doing some work there with Vibes Radio, the rights holders doing commentaries on the T20s and very much involved as the action continues tomorrow. Now, we've got Mally Richards on the line, the son, of course, of Sir Vivian Richards. Ian Bradshaw's joined us. And, of course, we've also got on the line from Jamaica, we've got our good friend, Mr. Jackie Hendricks. He's there as well. Let's start with the young gentleman. And, of course, when we speak of the youth, we speak of Jackie Hendricks. Is that right, Jackie? How are you, my friend? Jackie? Is he with us? Jackie Hendricks? Okay. Let's see if we can pick up Jackie Hendricks, of course. We'll try and see if we can do that. But someone who's very, very young, I mean, I'm just fooling around with Jackie, is Mally Richards, who's joined us. Mally, how are you? You're looking like your dad. We want to hear you. We want to hear you. Turn that mic on. Got to turn the mic on. All right. Hello, Mally. How are you? Just trying to see if you can pick up Mally. Just turn that mic on, Mally. See, and Bradshaw's getting himself all ready as well.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear, Mally.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, loud and clear. Ian Bradshaw in his green, his favorite color, is just making sure that he's getting himself in the position in that wonderful house he's got there. I understand it's worth $5 million there in Enterprise. He's going to be joining us very soon. We're going to try to reach our very good friend, of course, as we make that connection to Jackie Hendricks. All right, Mally, how are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Pleasure to be here.
All right, good. And, of course, Ian Bradshaw is with us as well. Now, your reaction to the T20 series, the West Indies, Mally, won the T20 series 2-1, but it wasn't that easy. Your reaction?
Coming into the series, I think looking at the composition of the teams, I made West Indies the favorites. You know, I think Sri Lanka have been struggling with injuries in the recent past. You know, it's been a depleted team, I think, in the last three series or so for them. And, I made the West Indies favorites. But based on how the series went, I think the Sri Lankan spinners brought a bit of an unknown element to the to the series, because they're players that haven't been playing international cricket that long. So I don't think the guys really have got the handle or picking these spinners just yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that was that's how the series went. Mm-hmm. You know, West Indies did just enough to win. And I mean, a win's a win. You take it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to certainly look at some of the individual performances. When I look at people like Holder and very far down the line, I see Christopher Gayle. Where is Christopher Gayle there? In the three matches, just 29 runs, not doing well at all. We can look at those players. But let's go to Jamaica before we come back to you, Ian, and talk to Jackie Hendricks. Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Hi, Andrew. What's happening, man? How are you?
Good. How is good old Jamaica?
Well, it's the same old thing, you know, COVID. Everybody is hiding.
So you've not been making your rounds into Kingston then? You're staying at home, Jackie?
I'm pretty well locked away, yes.
I would imagine, yes. All right, now your reaction to the West Indies victory in the T20 series, their 1-1 against Sri Lanka. You happy?
Yes, well, always with a win, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. But looking at it, I did think, I don't know whether I'm crazy or what, but I did think that the Sri Lankans batted early on in their innings. I thought they batted very irresponsibly. Mm-hmm. I know it's a 20 over, but some of the strokes I saw them attempt, I didn't quite understand what was in their minds when they made those shots. But anyway, that's just my thought. And I'm very pleased that we did win. I somehow a little surprised that that Chris was brought into the team at this stage. I wondered what the reason was, but of course, he has been a a tremendous player over the years, and it's just at his stage in life, his age, I was a little surprised.
Mm-hmm. So Jackie, would you have brought him into the side? Would you have picked him had you been a selector?
Well, that's difficult to say because I do not know what things went on in their minds. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly would have thought that he was a little, past it at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
And having other youngsters around, I would have gone for them. But then, of course, selectors are there on spot. They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of his performance, I mean, in the three matches, Gail just got 29 runs, the highest of 16, and he averaged 9.66.
Yes, that's a point. But, you know, I really just wondered the reason behind the selection. I thought that probably he was being brought back to sort of strengthen the batting. But, as you say, he didn't have a very good series, and you know, I guess some other young player would have to me been more acceptable.
Mm. Just before we go to Ian Bradshaw, they also brought back Fidel Edwards. I mean, were you surprised
again? Another question mark in my books. You know,
mm-hmm.
I would have thought that was a little stretch. But again, as I say, the selectors must have had some good reason for that.
Mm-hmm. But would you carry Gail and Fidel Edwards to the World Cup?
that's a very difficult question. As far as I am concerned,
mm-hmm.
I mean, not knowing all the facts.
Yes.
I must say that. Not knowing the facts. Mm-hmm. I would be extremely doubtful.
So the answer is no then, Jackie. You wouldn't take
them. Well, as I say, I don't know the facts behind the thinking of the selection.
I'm giving you the facts. Gail is soon 42. Edwards is, what, 39? And Edwards was dropped. He played two matches, and Gail made just 29 runs from three matches,
yes.
And is on the decline.
Well, you know, Chris has done a lot of good yeoman service to West Indies cricket. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, he said he was available. So I guess maybe that sort of...
Mm-hmm.
The selectors think twice,
sir. Huh? All right. Stay with us, Jackie. Let's go to Ian Bradshaw now. Ian, looking very thoughtful there. Hello, Ian. Your reaction to the West Indies victory? They're 1-1.
Good night, Andrew. And once again, good night to your co-moderator, Dr. Ford. Good night to Tom Hamali. And obviously, good night to Mr. Hendricks. And welcome to all of your many, many guests over the radio and over the live stream.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointed by the manner of our victories. Yes, we won, but the result could easily have been 3-0 to Sri Lanka.
Mm.
And as we build towards the World Cup, our performances have to be far more clinical. Like so many series, Andrew, mm-hmm. with West Indies cricket, we go into it and we believe that our bowling is the weak link of the two. And when it comes out, it's our batting that struggles. And this has been the case in all three formats. You look at Test cricket, whenever we scored 500 runs over two innings, we've won. And history will show that. When we get over 300 runs in a one-day international, we are very competitive. But quite often, it's our batting that has let us down. And the batting in the T20 series showed a bit of irresponsibility. The shots that were played put us in undue pressure when we didn't need to be. And if we're going to roll forward in a World Cup year, this is a time that we have to have some honest words within the camp. And I'm sure that Coach Simmons and maybe Chief Selector Harper will have to be brutally honest with the guys. I mean, experience or inexperience, when you reach this level,
mm-hmm.
your match awareness has to be a lot better.
Mm-hmm. So you, West Indies won, you're not impressed at all, And you spoke just before we go to Roland Holder, who's joined us. You talk about the batting. Let's look at those stats. Holder, 3 matches, 52 runs. Simmons, 3 matches, 73. Then we had Lewis in the 3 matches, just 55, a highest of 28. Pollard, 51 from 3 matches, highest of 38. And then we come down to Poran, in the 3 matches, 31 runs, highest of 23. And Gale, in the 3 matches, just got 29 runs. And in fact, DJ Bravo, in the 3 matches he played, let me see how many runs he made. He just got 6 runs. So that doesn't inspire confidence, Ian Bradshaw.
Well, Andrew, we got to put this into perspective. And it's, you know, in T20 cricket, you may say a fellow scores 60 runs in a series, but depending on the position where he's playing,
right,
the importance of those 60 runs could be important. What I am concerned about is the manner of our dismissals, as I said. Yes, we showed a definite weakness and uncertainty to the spinners. But at times, West Indies cricket, we've struggled sometimes with spinners at different points in time, but it is how collectively as a unit we bat the spin.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more worrying to me is a trend where I find that against the aggressive pacer, we're showing a bit of tentativeness.
That's true.
I think a lot of international teams would have picked that up, and you see quite often when teams need a wicket, they're turning back to their pacer and maybe just one over to collect a wicket. And we've got to be smart enough in those situations to be able to counteract that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard your previous guest, I think it's Vernon, is speaking about guys, Neil Smith. And we saw him, and we saw there was another guy from Windward Islands as well. Mm-hmm. In the 50-over game, when those guys came and were aggressive at some of our better players, we saw some tentativeness.
That's true.
So. Mm-hmm. As we go forward, I mean, you can't hide the international cricket. There's no way to hide too much video, too much analysis. And we got to man up. We got to take some responsibility if we're going to put some runs on the board and defend our world championship with pride.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Roland Holder. Now, Roland, how are you? Everything is good with you, my friend? Roland?
Hi, Andrew. Good night. Yes, so far, so good.
Yes. I imagine.
On, Andrew.
Yes, Dr. Ford is going to join you just shortly. Yes, Doc. Roland, happy with the 2-1 win? Are you concerned like Ian Bradshaw?
Andrew, it's a win for us. So obviously, I'm happy for a West Indies victory, as I think every West Indian would be or should be. I'm sure some red flags would have been raised in the minds of the coaches, etc., and the selectors, and I'm sure they will be looking to see how they can work with those players in those areas to correct any shortcomings that they saw.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in terms of your area now, everything is set for tomorrow. You had the T20s. Looking forward to the ODIs now, Roland.
Yes, well, we have the best game that I think Vernon reported on earlier. So that is ongoing now. Day 2 of that is completed. So we also have the ODIs. Well, we are just about in final preparation. So everything seems to be coming on stream quite nicely. Of course, the surfaces here in Antigua would have taken a pounding because...
I think we've lost Roland Holder. Temporarily, I'm sure we're going to get him back. Brings me to Dr. Ford. Dr. Ford, how are you? Good evening to you, sir. I think we're trying to get Roland Holder back. Doctor, good evening.
Thank you. The Malian
work.
Ian Bradshaw. Oh, Roland's back.
Roland, you're back.
Yeah. Roland, we lost a little bit there from.
Oh, right. My Wi-Fi seems to have disappeared. It's been dropping in and out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know where I was lost, but we're just basically saying that. We have had to rejig some of our decisions in terms of the surfaces we are playing on. We know the surfaces here in Antigua have taken a pounding based on the amount of cricket, unexpected cricket that has been here. So kudos to the ground staff who have done yeoman service at both venues in ensuring the surfaces have been able, and I'm not only just talking about the match wickets, those that have gone and those that are to come, but also the nets. It's not very easy being in the biosecure bubble where there are severe limitations. So everyone has had to pull together and do their part, and so far, so good.
Sir, good night again to all of the guests and to the listeners. Roland, how does the logistical part of this Sri Lankan tour help you with the upcoming tours later on this year? Really looking forward.
Well, most definitely. We are supposed to have South Africa, Australia, and Pakistan June, July, August. But this is the first real test for us. The Super 50 leading into the Sri Lanka series was the first real test for us. We have been challenged, but it has come together, and it's a learning process. So as there will be areas in this which we will improve on for the next series. So thankfully, it is going pretty smoothly.
I know it's hard to tell so early, but the necessity to have the biosecure bubble, do you envisage that we could have a biosecure bubble since we are separated by water? Or do you think just one location might be the better way to do
it? It's very difficult to play an entire series in one venue.
Mm.
So we are fortunate in Antigua to have had CCG, and which is the Coolidge Cricket Ground and the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium. Ideally, to move between islands, we would have to charter flights, etc. And that comes with risk. You're going through airports, etc., mm-hmm, and coming into contact with people mm-hmm. who are outside of your bubble. So there's some element of risk, and then you go into another bubble. You then formulate another bubble with a different set of testing protocols, a different requirement from the ministries of health from various islands, etc. So in an ideal world, you would want to play every series in one venue. Realistically, that could prove to be just as challenging from a cricketing point of view, based on the surfaces and the wear and tear and the length of the series, etc. That itself could prove a challenge. So it's a catch-22, and mm-hmm. we're going to have to work hard to find the best balance for everyone involved.
Roland, I'm going to ask you a third question, not trying to stress you this evening. I'd mentioned about vaccines, and I subsequently heard Vice President Shallow mention it. Any progress or word on vaccinations for the West Indian cricketers, the contracted players, you know, or even the franchise players? It's well over 100 players.
Ideally, all the franchise players are in their respective territories at their home bases. So I know Cricket West Indies will work with the governments to see how best we can get persons vaccinated. But again, vaccine is a personal choice. It's an option that every individual mm-hmm. will have to mm-hmm. decide if they want to take it. And if there are consequences to not taking it, then that's a decision they're going to have to reach on their own. The most we can do is continue the education program. Our medical teams, have been, Dr. Obergulston is our sports science and medicine manager, and he has been at the forefront of the education program and working with the biosecure bubbles mm-hmm. and trying to get them up and running. So it's an education process. Again, it will be a personal choice to individuals, as it is in every island, every country, mm-hmm. if you want to take the vaccine. And the most we can do is try to educate you on the benefits of it, or the plus. There is always a plus and a minus, so we can give you all the information we have, and the decision ultimately will be the individuals. Mm-hmm. We can do our best to try to make the vaccine available to those who want to take it.
Mm-hmm. Just before you go, Roland, because I know you're a very busy man preparing for tomorrow, are we still on track for the regional tournament to be held in April. I understand you've got South Africa, Australia, and Pakistan coming to the region. Are we still on track?